LA Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication.
It's a new format.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Let's try that again. Oh, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here with us tonight. We're going to be talking about the one training for effective living and communication. So I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here. And I also want to thank Sue Wagner for planning these really amazing classes that we have going on right now. Very limited seating, 6 people only, at an incredible bargain price. And you know, we may not be able to keep the price as low as we are right now. So if you're interested, you want to go to iStore.com and check it out. But for now, I'm going to introduce Sue Wagner so she can tell us what's coming up. Sue.
Well, we have an array of classes. We have a Getting to I Do class, a life script class, dream analysis. We have one for couples, and we just added a want training class. We have a variable days right now. We're already booked out until August. It's 6 people to a class. The classes are $150 per person, and it's from 9 to 4. There's all these different topics. If you want to read about what the classes are about, you can go to wantistore.com and click on the seminar links. I will be adding more classes for October, November, and December. And tonight we're talking about the want training class. That seems to be the new class we've added. And I know that the Getting to I Do class was, we had 2 classes. They were all sold out. I will be adding another one for registration for Saturday, September 9th. It'll be up for registration in the next couple of, probably by next week. So with that, and then don't forget, if you want to be informed on the upcoming classes, we send out a monthly newsletter the first of the month. Go to drpatallen.com and sign up for our newsletter. And then when you'll get a confirmation, click the confirmation to accept the newsletter. And then we have the monthly seminars, Los Angeles, the first Monday of every month, Orange County, the first Wednesday. You can check the dates and information on the www.drpatallen.com. And for all of you that are out there listening and you cannot call in for your questions, Dr. Allen does do private appointments on the telephone. You can contact me for information and to schedule an appointment at info@drpatallen.com. That's info@drpatallen. I know there's a lot of people that have a couple of questions they want answered and they can't get on the radio and we can't do emails to answer all these questions, but you're more than welcome to contact me and I can set you up with a phone appointment. That's it for all the information I have, Kelly.
Oh, I heard a rumor. A little bird told me. Why we might be having a special for the month of July. Do we have a special for the month of July?
Oh, we have the special. Yes. Right now, if you go onto our website, the Want I Store, we have the relationship seminar downloadable version. It's got about 10 hours of the relationship seminars. They're all edited and formatted into different topics. It was regularly $49.95. With this download, you can order it through the month of July for $19.95. Now, with some people, the Mac computers, it occasionally drops, but if it drops, just contact me and I can send you the direct link. This format, you cannot download it onto your iPhone. You have to download it on a computer and then you can transfer it. But if you have any problems, just contact me and I can send you the direct link as well.
That's pretty awesome. And that is a great download. I have to admit, I love that one. Hey, Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Yes, I love it.
And you know what? We have a lot of people interested in this one training class. And what I'd really like to know is, this is a really important and special thing to you.
It was in my life extremely important. When I was in my last classes getting my master's degree to qualify for my license as a marriage, family, child therapist, a wonderful teacher that looked like Abraham Lincoln, and I feel badly, I forgot his name, but I'm just going to call him Abe Lincoln because that's what he was. He took the class. Yeah, that works. He looked like it, and I can remember what he looked like. I have good visual memory, but when it comes to words and stuff, I sometimes don't remember names. So with that in mind, he gave the class an assignment, and the assignment was to write down who you plan to be in 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. Now, I'm sure most of the people that are listening know that when you have cancer, they say, well, if you don't get it again in 5 years, you're done with that one. You may create a new one, but that one is done. It's killed. So I wrote a plan. I chose 3 years. Mm-hmm. Since that time, I have written a plan: acquisition, enjoy, and relinquish.
Interesting.
What I did was I duplicated the first 3 years of life from birth on. And it's like, what do I plan to achieve? Where do I plan to live? What kind of house? I'm looking out the window. What's there? In other words, what you're going to do is a visualization of what your plan would result in. It'll show if you want to be mated, married, whether you want a dog, what kind of... the whole thing, and especially how much money do you want to be making? Now, remember, I was a school teacher in a ghetto school doing art and social studies, and I think I was making, this was, let's say, 1970-something, 70s, the end of the 70s.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I think I was making $12,000 a year, you know, for my 9-month school teacher job.
Yes.
And I was married to a school teacher. And so he was a shop teacher and a coach for every sport they had. So that's what we did there. And so it was amazing because I think I took my $12,000, which is like $1,000 a month, only I got it in 9 months. And I said, I'm going to want to make $24,000. I want to double my income.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I got out of the class and I've graduated. And I applied for my tests, you know, the oral one and the written one. Mm-hmm. I did all the things. And I did that statement, that image of who I would be, no later than the last of a third year.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did get my job as an art teacher at the ghetto school. I did do that. My husband and I bought a house that was owned by a criminal person who didn't do the documentation right for his buying the house, and he wanted to get rid of evidence, so he sold it to us dirt cheap. Now, you can imagine a couple of poor teachers doing that.
Yeah.
By the end of the third year, I had made $40,000, you know, because I started to do my training as a therapist and probably even took my test, you see, in those 3 years.
So you accomplished $40,000. You were only seeking $24,000.
That's right.
But your positive output really paid off. So let me ask you a question.
What?
In this one class, do you go through these steps to create this,
yes,
this plan?
Yes, you do. Sue,
tell me,
will send out the what do I call it, the organ. She will send out all of the things you've got to fill in. Very interesting. 20 things that you like to do. And then what they did. Did your mom and dad tell you to do this? Did you create this? Is this a risky thing? Is this? It's going to interview you on the various facets of your 20 things you like to do and where they came from.
Oh, wow.
And then you're going to do an age day of imagery. It's really going to be you creating an image of who you'll be at the end of a year or two. I do three. I don't do four and I don't do five. I do three just
right.
Because I like the first 3 years of life, you know, in a child's life. By the time you're 3 years old, you're pretty well cooked as a member of your family, good or bad. And so either you're going to design your life or they're going to design your life. And I didn't want anybody to design my life for me. So I created my own.
So we see that a lot. We see a lot of people that are you know, their parents are vicariously living through them, you know, that whole helicopter parent situation where sometimes we don't even realize that we're living somebody else's dream.
Right. Or living somebody else's script.
So you really help people step outside of that by looking at.
It works for me. And I've really never, ever taught a class of it. I've simply lived and succeeded. I dug up the paperwork and I said, now's the time. And the reason for that is doing it with six people in a 9-to-4 day is very comfortable for they and me and whatever.
So
having a room full of 30 people doing it is too many people.
Right. So you actually get to work when it's a small class.
First of all, Sue will send the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know exactly what you're supposed to know. You will be asked with nobody around. You'll be asked, what do you like and what do you foresee? And, you know, what is anything stopping you? And see, well, the whole thing.
So then it really gives it really gives you time to sit there alone and reflect before they get in with you.
And they get to watch other people do the same thing. And that's extremely, you know what's funny about therapy? People think you get better work done one-on-one with the shrink. The truth of the matter is group is better and more efficient than one-on-one.
Really?
Yep.
Very, very interesting.
Right.
So do you, during these classes, do you ever have somebody that just like that light comes on, this profound switch just goes, wow. And they alter their plan.
What happens truthfully is they tell their truth and then they cry. Because they haven't done any work on getting their truth into reality. See, they get 45 minutes in a chair with me as if the room is empty. Nobody gets to interrupt. Nobody gets to ask questions until the 45 minutes are done. And
wow.
It's not my business to tell people who they are, but it's my business to share my experience, strength, and hope with what I've done when a marvelous Abraham Lincoln teacher asked me to do it in my last class, one of my last classes in my master's program. And 40 some years later, I'm still doing it.
Well,
every
I guess that old adage, if it isn't broke, don't fix it, absolutely works with the want training.
That's right. Do you know? And it's the not want training too, because very often there's something impeding you that doesn't allow you to go after what you want. Do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean, and I'd love you to elaborate on that a little bit, because I know your energy has a lot to do, you know, your masculine or feminine energy has
feminine
a lot
energy.
To do it, has a
if
lot
you,
to do with that.
You have, that's why it lists 20 things that you like to do physically, and then it asks about 10 questions of each of those. Who told you to do this? Is this, you know, like I said, is this a dangerous thing? Are you going to do it with people or by yourself? It interviews you on each of the 20. That's why we send you these papers before, at least a minimum of a week before, so that you can really fill them out and be ready. Because whether we like it or not, there's a part of us that wants to sabotage. And that sabotage is men who think they don't deserve success and women who don't feel worthy of it. Women tend to go with their instincts. Mm-hmm. Men go with their intuition. But the problem is what we do in the class, I as the teacher, therapist, and the other five people, we will give you feedback at the end of your 45 minutes so that you are experiencing a family wishing you well. Do you see?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I see why in a group situation that level of support would be inspiring.
It is inspiring. And the truth of the matter is, people, one girl was a nice little Asian girl. She came to the Wednesday night program last mm-hmm. week with a huge bouquet of flowers. And she said, I did your program the 3 years, you know, way back when. I didn't do it in class form. I did it in individual form. And she came in and she said, you told me, and remember, she's a little punky girl, bright, wants to get a PhD studying transactional analysis in my work, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Guess who did it?
She did.
She did it, and she came down to Wednesday night, the first Wednesday of this month, with a bouquet of flowers and thanked me in front of the group for what she got.
That's
but
fantastic.
The truth of the matter is, she created it. We, the group and I, simply supported her in her goals, and she went about the business of doing it.
So, in a sense, you're going to come across people that are ready to receive, and then again, somebody who may not be ready to receive, but maybe once they get in the class, that changes.
Yes, that does. That does. You have no idea what people have done. I have a number of clients that have become therapists, a number, because they wanted to imitate me. Remember, when you're a therapist, you're replacing mom and dad.
Right, right. You are. Well, shall we take some calls?
Why not?
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Pat. So my question is, when I'm using your techniques and I signal a timeout to
we call them tools.
Tools, yes.
They're tools of communication rationally. Not emotionally,
yes.
Which is intimidation and seduction. Negotiation. I'm okay, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens to be a book in TA. So what is it?
So what do you do when you ask him, you know, you say, I observe that you're, you know, you're upset. Am I right? And he says, yes. And then you say, okay, what can I do to help you and I do better? And he says nothing. And he, I mean, he actually
says what?
There's nothing you can do.
What he's saying mm-hmm. is, I don't want you to mother me. Thank you for the offer, but I'm done with mother. Remember, a man's job is to get away from women that are his mother. And he starts the job of getting away at 10. Girls start leaving mom at 8. But girls are attempting to get daddy's approval. But for you, he's just doing, I don't want you to mother me. If I want something from you, I'll ask for it.
Wow. So if I observe him, you know, acting upset.
You can do, you can say, I sense by the look on your face, that's a tool. That mm-hmm. is one of our tools. It's the fourth tool, in fact. I sense by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, your gesturing, that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? Yes, you're right. When would it be convenient for you to talk to me about it? And he might say, thank you for asking. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to talk to my lawyer. I'm going to talk to my therapist. I'm going to talk to my dad. Do you see?
Okay. Is it normal for guys like that to take a couple days and then they come back and then they actually are ready to talk about it?
Anybody can do it, and he'll do it the following way. Honey, you were so kind to offer helping or running, let me run my ideas by you. I didn't say yes at that time, but I've been thinking about your brains and your offer, and you're not pushing on me. So I want to know what you think of this situation. And do you have an idea, a suggestion that I may or may not use, but I want to hear what it is? That puts it in his court. He's still in charge.
Okay, got it.
Remember, your job is to be passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership. If you want to be the girl, you've got to act like a lady.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Allen, these tools you're talking about,
yes,
are they in the WANT training?
Yes, that is how you negotiate.
There you go.
For example, in WANT training, it comes in automatically because is there something that's blocking you? And it's usually, well, my mom won't like it, or my dad will this, or I'm afraid to quit my job. Then we go about the five tools.
Fabulous.
The tools go in by the way, every student tapes, either I take a CD of their stuff or they put it in their phone. They get a record of their session. Not anybody else's, just theirs.
Very nice.
Okay, if I can ask one more quick follow-up question.
Sure.
In being passive, patient, and vulnerable, which I try to do the best I can.
Wait a minute, you try or you do the best you can?
I do the best I can.
Okay, because when you say, I try, but I fail. You see, the word try indicates that you anticipate failing. I will do the best I can may be mutable. One day you're better than another day, but every day you're doing the best you can. Listen to this little story. There was a gigantically nice man who was raised, you know, to be a girl and became a drunk. And he decided to become a lawyer, right? So he went to school, got graduated, and was going for his first bar exam and came down with pancreatic cancer. And of course, pancreatic cancer, they've got new treatment that can judge level one earlier. That's what's saving pancreatic cancer victims. They're getting to spot it earlier. He managed to live through it, took the bar exam, and failed. And then he was already in a relationship, a situation with me and somebody else. And then he was disappointed, unworthy. Remember, he'd been a drunk and he was sober. And the people that were using him as an intern were happy with his work, but he didn't pass the bar. So he came in to me this past week and he said, I don't know whether I just want, my ego is really bent out of shape at failing. I said, sir, you came down with an extremely volatile form of cancer. You had to do surgery. They took out a hunk of this or that. I said, would you please, please get your ego out of the way and go for it again? I always tell people the following thing. You know you're doing God's will? When you do everything to get what you want and reality stops you. If you stop you, that's ego. So guess what he did? He decided he's going for it. Whether he makes it or not, he's going. He's going to take time off to study for the bar because the exam was going to be too soon. He couldn't catch up on the time he lost when he was sick. So I wanted him to take time to study because that's normal.
Yeah, now, and I hope he's listening because, yeah, it's very common. Well,
He automatically, you know, he's going for the exam, but not till February.
Yep.
So I'm telling you, do everything you
don't try, want. Do it.
Yeah, don't try, do it. Got it?
Do it. Okay. So in helping me do it, I am doing it in my current relationship. There's one thing that is always gnawing in the back of my mind, and that is that we've been dating for 11 months and he still has not said I love you to me. I haven't said it
either. I've got news for you. What does he do to show he loves you, please?
He does a lot of things. He has introduced me to his parents. He is communicative, he's cherishing,
Do you understand that speaking, is he right or left-handed?
Right-handed.
He's not connecting his feelings with his thoughts, therefore he's not programming his broca to speak feelings, he's programming his body to do feeling things. So, what you're setting up is a standard that his right-handed brain, small corpus callosum, does not accommodate. If you require, I love you, then you're requiring him to live in his right lobe more than he's comfortable with. Check to see what his behavior is.
Behavior is good.
Behavior is right lobe, left lobe. It's doing good.
Okay, so it's not, because I have girlfriends that tell me like, that's not normal.
Those are not girlfriends. Those are boyfriends who date girlfriends. That's a man. That's a girl with a penis. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because saying to a man that acts in a loving way, I want you to say you love me. Oh, how authentic is that?
Not authentic at all, which is why I've never said that to him, and I will never say that to him.
Please don't, because your girlfriends are boys, and you say you want to be a girl, and girl is passive, patient, and vulnerable, and boy is giving, protecting, and cherishing. Is he a giving, protecting, and cherishing man?
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
Then I don't care about his words.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. That's what I needed to hear.
Welcome.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, caller.
Bye.
Well, that was like a show of the tools right there, what you do and want.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have to turn your radio down. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Great.
Great. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. A man was dating me for about 3 months.
Hallelujah.
too bad it's over. Okay. And things were going super well. He took me away for 2 different weekends. I met his family when no girl has ever really met his family before. And then he pulled what I believe is called a spacewalk talk, basically freaking out about commitment. And then after that, he texted me, you know, the following day after that talk, saying, hey, just want you to know I'm thinking about you. I've been really sad all day, to which I just replied, I'm sad too. Now it's been 2 weeks and I know I have 6 more to go. I guess my question is, how likely is it that I'm going to hear from him?
50-50.
Okay.
He sounds like he's scripted to do it. Some other people who you met his family.
Yeah, I met his family.
Who is the?
He has a therapist. What? He has a therapist. I don't know if that's who's scripting it.
Well, no. I want to know. Did you meet his mom and dad?
No, I haven't met his mom and dad. Just his siblings.
Oh, were there any girls in the group?
Yes, two. He has two sisters.
Were they girls or guys?
I think they were girls.
Great. Were there any brothers? Were there any guys?
No brothers. No men. No.
He's the only boy?
I get the sense his dad is a girl.
What?
I get the sense his dad is a girl.
How did you get that?
Just from different things he's told me.
Got it.
Seems kind of passive.
So,
yeah.
So he may be, there's a book out, When He Marries Mom by Adams. He may have been scripted to respect his mom. You see, dads are impacted by the affection of, that they give affection to their daughters, but moms give the boys a sense of respect. So what I'm hearing is, did you not pass the observation test with his, you didn't meet his mom and dad. Did you pass the test with the sisters?
Yes, I did.
Okay. But you
things
didn't
were
meet.
Were so good after I met them. Yeah.
But he was sad because what? Mom and dad didn't meet you?
No. So I was just giving you some backstory, like about a month went by after I met them.
You did. So did you observe that mom was a guy and dad was a girl yourself?
No, I never met the parents.
Okay.
I met the siblings like a month prior to him freaking out about commitment.
I've got news for you. He's got 8 weeks to go up against mom.
Okay.
And you would do well not to question, to just accept You don't want to be with a man who doesn't know what he wants, because then you will be the man.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Be kind when he calls and reaches out.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yes. And then I have a work event at his property. And I wanted to know, do I sit this event out or just go anyways?
You go anyway. Do not let a person who doesn't know what they want determine your wants, your life. If you have a reason to go someplace, go there and treat him respectfully.
Okay.
Got
it.
Good luck. Good luck, caller.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Very interesting, Dr. Allen.
What's interesting about it?
I think it's interesting that the sequence of events where she meets the sisters, and a month later, he's in relationship panic?
Yes, but what I'm thinking is that he didn't get permission to have a competent woman. If mom...
It's been forwarded to an automatic voice.
If mom is in control, she'll pick his wife.
Right. Oh, we got a call. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes, I do. I'd like to know about...
Yeah, turn your radio down, sweetheart.
If mom is in control... I'd like to know about why men over the age of 45, when they're going into andropause, and Pat says that they start acting like women.
And wait. The statement, they start acting like women. No, they start feeling their instincts more because the testosterone is going down. It's a biochemical issue. Has nothing to do with psychology, but it changes their behavior. Very often they buy a fancy car. Some of them go off and get a lover. Those are scary things that happen. But men between 45 and 55 start feeling their feelings more, and premenopausal 45 to 55 women start thinking their logic. They start they start instinctively feeling what's right and wrong.
Okay. Well, but when those two get together and they're both in those age groups, the woman is maybe becoming more masculine because she's got more testosterone? And the man has more estrogen. Well,
have you ever seen cars with people that age? Who's driving the car?
The woman.
I used to think those ladies were nurses' aides. I found out they're wives who are now husbands.
Yes, but I'm that age now, and I see a lot of women that are really bossy of people, and I think...
But do you understand? That's what I'm teaching.
I want to stay feminine. I don't want to be the aggressor.
You don't need to stay feminine. You need to feel comfortable faking your femininity. I call it fake beta. It's you act respectful even when you don't respect. As long as he's moral, ethical, and legal, you treat him like a 25-year-old stud.
Oh, okay. All right. But now what I wanted, do the men change at that time and want you to chase them?
Yes.
But you're not supposed to, so you're both girls
You know what? You know what happens? They find out that you're not going to chase them, and they want you enough that they take the risks.
Okay. Because like I said, I'm running into a lot of them. It seems as though they're changed to be feeling, and they want you to chasing. I think, I don't want to be that way. I can't come out of that. I don't want to come out of my comfort zone to chase someone.
I understand that. And they usually say it in the following ways. Why do I have to do all the calling? Because you're courting me. Courting? What's courting? Courting is you being nice to me to see if I'll be your girlfriend. Maybe even your fiancé.
Okay.
Take your position. I want to be the girl.
Yes, I do.
Well, I got news for you.
Even though I am more logical now, and I'm stronger psychologically.
Do you wear makeup?
Yes, I do.
You wear bras.
Yes, always.
Are your ears pierced?
Yes.
Guess what? That's what we have to do with our language. We have to pretend that we're trying to be more attractive language-wise. My tools, my five tools. Men need to be respected in order to feel cherished. Women have to respect them before they can cherish you.
Okay. All right. See, that's what I wondered, because older men, it seems like I'm feeling thrown by them. Now, somebody younger, a young guy, I can get along fine with, because they're still in their masculine. They're still in their masculine. And it's easy because they're going to come after me. But
I fully understand that. So you can, Madonna does it, J-Lo does it. You want a toy boy? Get one.
I don't want a toy boy, though. I want someone my own age.
But he's going to act his age, which is he needs more cherishing. There's 15 old ladies to every one old man. Why? Because if they don't get cherished, men need to be mated or married more than we do.
Okay.
We can group up with our girlfriends and visit Israel.
Yeah, I know. But see, I don't want that. I want to find a man my own age, because
you have to help him feel respected. Even when raise your right hand. I promise. To respect the older man I love.
To respect the older man I love.
Even when. I know I'm a better man right now.
Furthermore.
I promise.
To keep my yang mouth shut. Now, that's a hard one.
Unless I
have to call the police.
A doctor. Or a lawyer. First. Now, that's the law of andropause and menopause.
Okay.
It's a teeter-totter, but it's no different than makeup. It's no different than cosmetic surgery. It's us trying to hang on to the signs of youth in order to be able to enjoy companionship.
Okay. Now, this is something you said 2 weeks ago that I tried to call back last week and ask.
All right.
You.
Well,
this lady, she was wanting penetration with a man, and you said that was masculine to want that. But it's not masculine to want it if you love a man, though, and you're having a relationship with him, is it?
No, but when you ask a man to get his penis up in the air, you're putting a little project there. I'd rather you seduced him into it than asked for it.
Well, I would not ask for it, because that's kind of a turn off to them anyway.
I just said that.
But the way she was talking, remember she was using toys with men, and she, you know, somebody, it was just a casual
relationship. I don't care about using toys.
But it was a casual relationship, which I thought was a little bit much. Because
I've got news for you. I care where his penis goes. In her mouth? No. Anus?
Right.
No. vagina? No. There are dozens of people, maybe more than dozens, who think oral copulation is not intercourse. But it is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. I agree. Yeah, but just like I said, so it's okay, though, if you're in a relationship with someone and you all are in a, you know,
well,
committed
yeah,
relationship.
That's what I teach.
Okay, all right, because that's what I was wondering. I said, because you said it was masculine to want penetration, but...
I got news for you. It's masculine to want penetration on your request. I would rather you set up an appointment to talk about your sex life and she paid attention to what she doesn't want and he pays attention to what he does want and they negotiate a deal.
Okay. Okay, but that's right. What I was wondering. Okay. All right, very good, Pat. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks, caller. The Art of the Relationship Deal, Dr. Allen. Maybe you can write that one.
What's that?
The Art of the Deal. Maybe you can write the next great bestseller on the Art of the Deal.
I got news for you. The New York Times on June 23rd has a long article titled, So You're in Love, Sign on the Dotted Line. They didn't mention me. But you can tell it's me because it said negotiate time, space, money, play. I mean, where are they doing that?
Yeah,
maybe somebody that was taught by me. Do you see? So I want you
definitely.
To know we made the New York Times newspaper this past week for the belief that you can negotiate a contract with somebody without legal endorsement. Do you see?
Yeah, that's true. And you know, that's interesting because a lady just sent me a message that said, regarding penetration, does that include French kissing when he's putting his tongue in your mouth?
No,
it seems very intimate.
No, it's intimate. It's that darling penis. Do you understand? I call it the God moment. When
yes.
A penis and a vagina get together and orgasm and create a human being.
Definitely.
That is way bigger than a hand job. That's way bigger than him going down on you. That's godlike. And therefore, you break the laws of nature, you're going to pay.
Oh, we've More got another people- caller.
All right.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad to make it on the show. I'm a feminine energy woman. I guess I've always sort of been playing the opposite role in relationships, but since reading your book, I decided to change that.
And
I
what's
met
the
a
result?
Really great guy. Well, I met a great
you
guy.
Met him?
And very-
you met him? Or he met you?
He met me.
That's
he
you being
me.
The girl and him being the guy.
Right. And one of the problems I've had in the past is like getting someone who it will make a commitment. And maybe about 3 weeks in, he asked me to be in a monogamous committed relationship with him. And
he asked for sex. And he asked for sex.
I guess he did.
Well, why would he ask for a commitment
yes.
relationship? So he was pulling the plug first. I want a long-term, committed, continuous relationship. How do you feel about that woman?
And I said, yes.
So? Did you have your STD test?
No.
You want to die?
No.
Well, do you understand the fact you didn't have your STD test tells me you were afraid to set any obstacle up to his getting into your body, which means that you were surrendering your rights and safety in order to manipulate him into an addiction to your vagina.
Wow.
Did he come back? Did he stay?
Yes. He did. And
good.
He...
happy accidents.
Touche. He has been out of a marriage 2 years now.
That's
we're about
a good
the same
time.
Age.
That's good. That's good.
We're both 38, and he has
that's
said
great.
That he wants to get married and have children.
Why don't you do it?
Well, he has been talking a lot about his ex, and it's made me feel afraid that maybe there were some unresolved issues with her.
I got this. Did you say to him, I have something to say that may be a little uncomfortable. When would it be convenient for you to listen to me? You did say that. You didn't.
I did not. No.
Then how is he supposed? I've got to put on this record. There are four signs of a lousy communicator. One, they're evasive. They don't tell, I don't want this because of that. They're secretive. They expect you to mind read them. That's what you did. Condescending. All you want is sex. And what he says is all you want is money. And the fourth thing is abrupt. Get out. I'm leaving. You're done. I'm done. Do you understand? I hear your fear of losing him, and it causes you to be secretive so that he doesn't know that talking about his ex is detrimental to his relationship. So here's how you do it. I want to talk to you about something in our relationship that's painful. When would it be convenient? Hopefully today. And then you say you have every right to talk about other women, especially your ex-wife. But it's a turn off. And if you want to turn me off, you're doing it.
I'm going to have to bend in. I'm sorry. We're out of time.
Okay.
But these are the tools. This is the want training. And it's you got to sign on to wantistore.com. Sign up for that class. It's worth it. It's really worth it. Dr. Allen, do you have anything to say before we go?
Well, you know what I'm going to say. The only way to know and love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.